Welcome back to Parenting Matters. This is Parenting Matters, where we talk about parenting matters. Why? Because parenting matters. And I've been thinking about that intro for
it's a lot of parenting matters.
Yeah, somebody that just jumps on and listens through me say Parenting Matters five times or whatever. Thank you for putting up with that. You know, at some point, if you're a faithful listener, you're like, oh, it's cute. It's funny. It's the weird thing that they do. Or Seth does.
But and I just sit here and giggle.
As I go through the thought process of who's listening, it could be a random person that is just joining us for the first time. And if you are, then you probably don't understand why I say it that many times. But ultimately, it is because parenting matters to our kids, to you, to the
to the world at large,
to your community. Your parenting matters. And if you ever find yourself in a place where you think that what you're doing doesn't matter, then this is your help to check you, to remember that everything that you do matters. And that's good and bad. The consequences are good and bad. But your willingness to be parent and use Parenting Matters, not our podcast, but just the matters of parenting, will help you. And
well, and you know, honestly, they're probably drawn to the name before they ever listen anyway, which is Parenting Matters. So maybe they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah. And no matter how you look at it, whether you're thinking, oh, they're talking about the matters of parenting, or if they're thinking, you know what, parenting does matter.
It does.
Either way, that was the strategy behind pulling the so that we could get that name. So did you have a good week? It's been another week.
It went by fast. I was just thinking, one more day and it's the weekend again. Woohoo.
Man, those 4-day weeks are tough.
In a good way.
not for all of us.
Okay. It has been a busy week. Yeah, I had a lot to do on my plate having Monday off.
I don't necessarily prefer having Monday off, I think.
Yeah.
Because I get so many things that too. Happen anyway. I'm like, man, I might as well just not even call it a day off. And if you try to do day off stuff.
Yeah.
You're just disappointed.
Yeah. This time I was prepared. I was prepared. I filmed some other things on Monday and had lunch with a volunteer. So I was kind of prepared that it was like a half kind of working day.
Yeah. So it made it easy. You go. So mentally you're prepared.
Mentally I was ready for that.
Yeah. All my kids and my wife were at home.
So
it was, I intentionally tried to not do a lot of things and you just get sucked into certain things.
Yeah.
So I want to talk today about something that I think we all suffer with in some form and in different ways. And I think over the last 10 months now. Mm. Yeah, 10 months.
Crazy. Almost a year.
We've dealt with it in a lot of different ways over a lot of different issues.
True.
We're going to talk about fear. For those of you that thought we were going to talk about politics.
Or Corona.
You're at the wrong podcast.
Definitely.
Not for us. Not in here. We're going to talk about fear. And again, when I say it's for all of us, I've dealt with fear. You've dealt with fear. Mm-hmm. Our kids definitely have dealt with fear. If nothing else, just the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Which is one of the greater fears that very few people talk about.
Yeah.
But the uncertainty and unknown is possibly the worst part of this whole thing.
And I think there are a lot of us listening, for me for a long time, didn't recognize it as fear. You think about stress, you think about anxiety, you think about all these different emotions that are really stemming from fear.
Mm-hmm. That's so exactly
one
right.
way or another.
When you can, when you pull back the curtain or the onion or whatever.
Or you just take time to think about it for a minute. Why am I so stressed about this?
Well, I think we talked about this almost a year ago. We talked about why is it that everybody's having such a hard time with the new normal or everybody wants to get back to normal. Why? Well, it's the uncertainty of what is coming next.
Yep.
That's fear.
Yeah.
And
it's out of control. We want to be in control. We're afraid. Yep.
And that's true for kids or for adults, right?
Yeah.
Your uncertainty and unknown for kids is a huge fear point. But it is also for adults.
Well,
we try to veil it in like anxiety or depression, but really a lot of it can boil down to fear of what could and what might happen and how this is ultimately going to affect me. And as a Christ follower, it's kind of the wrong mindset, I think.
Absolutely. God says because he did not give us a spirit of fear.
That's right. And that's not the way that Jesus operated.
Right.
Right. It's not, as a human, I feel like he felt fear, but he knew the proper focus of his life, mm-hmm. which helped him to overcome those feelings. It's weird to think about Jesus as a human, right? But he was human, so he had all the emotions,
right,
that we feel. And you know, his God side was fully God and fully man. You can get into a deep theological thought process here, but ultimately, yeah. I'm simple enough to go, he was sad, he was happy, he was fearful sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, in the garden when he's praying for God's cup to pass from him, that didn't exactly seem like a place where he was completely calm.
Right. I think, yeah.
I but see how did, fear. What did he do? He got up and said, God, not my will, but your will, because I'm following you. When he was tempted in the desert by Satan, his focus was not on the problem or the temptation, but instead on the truth of who God is.
Yeah. And I think, especially with this fear of the unknown, again, we want to be in control, and we don't recognize that only God knows the future, and only God ultimately is in control. And so we have to kind of find that place of understanding that and being okay with that. Like, things aren't always going to go the way that I want, but God is in control.
And yeah, letting go of what you want is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Because what you want as a Christ follower is not necessarily what you get or what you even need. Mm-hmm. God knows what we need.
Right.
But we think we know what we need and what we want, and we can't understand it sometimes when we complain and blame God for us not getting the thing that we want, when reality is, how do you know that's what you needed? Yeah. Do you trust God? Yes. But just not in that area? I do trust him in that area. Well, then why are you so upset that you didn't get that? Because I really wanted it. Ah, that's it.
Or again, this whole, I'm a planner, so not knowing what's coming next is really difficult. Mm-hmm. It's taken a lot of years of surrendering that to God. But that same idea of like, but how I have to know. I have to know what's going to happen. Like, how will I prepare if I don't know?
God, I'm going to need a note or an email in the morning. Something. It's perfectly fine. You don't have to audibly come. Just a short little. Just
send me a sign on the road.
That's right. It says, Tanya, I got you. Yes. Take a right here.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not the way that it works.
I mean, I think about Abraham, and he just packed up all his stuff. He had no idea where he was going or what he was doing or what God was going to do. And he just packed up his family and all his things, and he went and he obeyed, and God blessed him, you know?
It's crazy.
Like, I think he was afraid?
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's why. His wife. He was married.
He was married.
So, yeah, listen. His wife was going, oh, you're doing what? For who? Where I don't know him. When did you see him? Oh, you haven't seen him? He just talked to you? Really? I don't know why she was so sassy, but she was pretty sassy.
I think she was sassy.
And she's like, oh, we're going to have kids? Do you realize how old I am? Yeah. Not to mention how old you are.
Chuckle.
So. And then, that's the reality. Now, you may be asking yourself, why did Seth think about this today? Well, I was afraid. I was not afraid. But this morning, about 3:45, my littlest, dearest little one came into our room.
We love her.
And said, can I get into bed with you? I'm scared. Aww. Why? I had a bad dream. What was a bad dream? I don't know. I just want.
How can you be afraid?
Can I cuddle with you? What's wrong? I'm scared. Why? And then that loop just started. And at 4:00, I'm not the best debater.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm a rational thinker.
Yeah, rational thinker. I'm just like, hey, why are you in here?
What is going on?
I don't want you in my bed because you kick me a lot. And you're, you know, you're small, but you're way bigger in bed. Yeah. And it made me think, like, for her, what does she have to be afraid of?
Yeah.
And, you know, kids are pretty manipulative. She knows the button to push. And I have to go, is she really afraid? Because she couldn't voice it, but she's 5, so there's that. Or was she trying to just get into bed?
Right.
But I think it's possible for her, she's always dealt with a little bit of fear.
Yeah. And something obviously woke her up.
Something did. Yeah. I've come to believe that she's always awake.
Oh, she never sleeps.
She never sleeps. She gets into moments where she's still.
Okay.
But she wakes up pretty quick. It sure seems like that. So I've been awake a long time thinking about, like, why what can I do to help her to understand? Because you do all the things, right? You, baby, there's nothing to be afraid of. We are right here.
Yeah.
We have, you give her the practical things. We have an alarm system. We live in a very safe neighborhood where we don't even need the alarm system, but we pay for it anyway, because honestly, we want to know if somebody walks out the door, not necessarily anybody's coming in the door. And we have neighbors that love us. There's so many people in this house. Yeah. Daddy's always at the ready to take care of you. There's no such thing as monsters. You give her all the facts and she looks at you and she goes, but I'm afraid. I want to cuddle with you. And what do you do as a parent? What do you do? Because you're like, oh, we can pray about this.
Yeah.
You know, God says we don't have to have a spirit of fear. And she goes, but I want to cuddle with you. I'm afraid. Okay. Listen, I'm going to move into that stage where I'm less compassionate and more angry here pretty soon. You know, don't make me spank you at 4 a.m. That's what you're going to be afraid of.
Yeah.
All right. That's what you should. That's real.
That's real.
And she doesn't get it. She's like, but I want to cuddle with you. Like, oh, man. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with these irrational fears that kids have, that sometimes it comes out in the middle of the night? Sometimes it's the way that they act. It is always inconvenient. And you know, all feelers are rational, but why? What do we do? How do we make them feel good? That's what I want to talk about today, because, well, I'll be honest, I need the answers.
I need the answers.
So maybe Tanya's got some words of wisdom.
Sure.
But ultimately, the more I think we talk it out, the more it'll help.
Yeah. I think it's sweet that she wanted to cuddle.
Not at 4 a.m.
Not at 4 a.m.
Got a queen size bed. Barely big enough for the two of us, let alone a squirt that jumps in and starts kicking you.
Turns into
a sweat box.
The safety, like, you know, maybe just because I'm a woman, but like God, I just have that image all the time of like God pulling you into like safety. Like that's a safe place, you know, with your dad.
So cute.
His arms around you. You're so cute.
I love it. So cute. Because here's the thing. She went over to Rainy's side, who's a nurturer, lover,
good
mom.
Yeah.
And what we've decided is, listen, when she comes in, because she used to come in all the time and she used to not ever leave. We finally were like, look, you're 5. It's time to sleep on the floor. If you're coming in here, you're not in our bed, you're sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
And when she comes in and she's afraid, Rainy will be like, hey, I'll hold your hand, which is uncomfortable because you're dangling your hand.
Right. Your arms off the bed.
But like that wasn't even working last night.
Okay.
So like she had a little pallet. She has a little pallet that she can come into, where she can pull out from under the bed and just lay there. Which doesn't happen every night, but lately it's happened every night. Huh. Most of the time the hand holding helps, but last night it didn't.
Yeah.
And it does, again, I'm a softie, right? Like I'm not as upset about being woke up as Rainy can be.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, how
can
I...
You wake up before anyway. Come on.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not terribly... Like, I was a little upset because I'm like, man, that's 30 minutes. I could have had 31 minutes. And I'm not going back to sleep now.
Yeah.
So I'm just staring at the ceiling, listening to her go, I'm scared. I want to cuddle with you. I'm scared. But like, here's my thing. How do we deal with the fear? But also, at what point do you go, okay, we're trying to teach her she needs to sleep in her own bed all night, right? So it's the practicality of she needs to learn to sleep in her own bed. She's got to quit coming into our room. Just, I feel like that's just a general thing you got to do with kids, because some kids are naturally just stay in their own room, but other kids not. Other kids, for some reason, need that security.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoe's one of those kids. There's a lot of reasons for that. I feel you go back all the way to the beginning. There's a lot of issues that are there that we got to work through. But at what point do you go from parenting to say, I'm teaching my child that it is important for her to sleep in her own bed, and that the consequences of her not sleeping in her own bed are not comfort, but are, this is not a better option. I want to sleep in my bed, which is the floor thing, which we've always done. Maybe it's a bad parenting move, but it worked with Paige.
Okay.
And she loved to sleep with us, and we finally were like, hey, look, you are huge and you kick us. You got to sleep on the floor if you come in here. And she did that about one night.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, man, my bed is way
not
better.
Not worth it. But not Zoe, huh?
She is way more stubborn. she's like, no, I'm breaking them. And she was willing to break us last night, because what it came down to was, I said, okay, Zoe, listen, you're going to have an option here. I want you to choose. You have to choose an option. You can either... you know, you hate doing this, but you got to figure out something that they like. They're going to lose one thing.
Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I said, if you want to, you can get in bed with us, but it will mean you will need to come home tonight and not go to church so you can go to bed early because obviously something's going on.
Okay.
Or you lay there on the floor and be quiet and go to sleep. She chose to cuddle and not go to church.
Yeah.
Now, the parenting thing was this morning she went, I want to go to church tonight.
Uh-huh.
That's a hard thing because I obviously don't want her not to go to church.
You want her to go to church, sure. Yeah.
And it only works because she likes to go to church.
Yeah.
But there has to be a consequence. And what I've learned is you have to give them a choice. If you just demand certain things, like, hey, don't be afraid, that doesn't work.
And so, like, I guess what do we need when we're afraid, I think is kind of where it comes down to. Because obviously she was afraid.
For some reason. And
so what
part of me believes you just wanted to get in bed.
Do you?
I think that's
part of it. Part of parenting is discernment.
That's exactly right.
Discerning.
And that's why it took so long. Cause we're trying to figure out, and that's why you ask, I don't know what else to do besides ask.
Cause fear is irrational. You can't always, again, you told her the facts, you can tell her all the things, but if it's true fear,
she's just a fear and she worked herself up. She got to a point where she actually worked herself up even more significantly. Yeah. That was when we had to go, okay, we got to give her a choice.
Yeah.
And choices always work.
Uh-huh.
But sort of. But, no, well, the choices, if you're willing to, so like kids typically need control. It's a whole other different topic.
Right.
They want control. And a lot of times the fear is based on around control too. They don't feel like they have any control because you make all the choices for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give them a choice, then they know, oh, okay. I don't know why it works. I learned it from Karen Purvis. She's way better. But she would always give kids, she dealt with kids in hard places, and she would always give kids a choice.
Right.
When I was like, that's crazy. No, you tell that kid to quit acting that way.
Yeah.
And she said, instead of saying, don't do this, here's what you can do.
Yeah.
That's a much better technique. Now, I think it does.
I still think it takes training because I've tried that with children who have never had that.
You're dealing with babies, like, though.
Neither. She's, none. I don't want either of those things. Well,
but what Karen Purvis would say is, no, baby, that's not the right thing.
Uh-huh.
I've given you a choice. You get to make this choice. This is yours. So you tell me which of those things it is. And it has to be reasonable, right? They can't be saying, hey, I want that popsicle. And you're like, nope, you know what? You get either that Brussels sprout or you eat this rock.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it, doesn't help.
Right.
But if you're like, okay, why is it that they can't have the popsicle? Well, because if they eat that much sugar, they're going to get crazy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how about one piece of sugar-free candy or
half the popsicle? Or...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the choices have to be appropriate. Okay, let's not get away from fear here. I don't want to get away from fear. So when we're dealing with fear, you have to look at what you can control in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
What can you control? Well, you can control your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
How? Yeah. What is it that you're thinking of? What is it that you're constantly putting in your brain? Because Zoe was putting in her brain constantly that she was afraid, she was afraid, she was afraid, she was afraid, she was afraid. So my job is to try to take her away from that thought press and change her mind. So giving her a choice helps stop that so that she now has to go,
what do I want?
Hold on, what do I want here? It also teaches her to be a little bit long-term thinker instead of short-term thinking. But it helps her to take her mind off of the thing that we're afraid of. When I get the most afraid, it's because I won't stop thinking about something.
You just turn it over and over
and
over
I make
in your
it
mind.
Way bigger than it really is.
Sure.
Yep. And it could be something as simple as making a phone call or going to some function where I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
For me, that's scary stuff.
Yeah.
And the more that I think about it, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And so when you allow it to spin off like that, the best thing that I can do is let me think of something that I can... distract her with something that she can control.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is something that a lot of times you can't control, right? She can't control whatever it was that she was thinking about, scared her to the point because she was scared, right? A monster or...
Dream, whatever was in her dream.
She never could verbalize what it was.
Yeah. But I've had dreams like that where you wake up with that sense.
And you're just... yeah.
Yeah, you kind of just wake up with the sense like, oh, that was scary, but... You can't think of why.
As an adult, you typically can go, okay, that's not real. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm in my bed. Everything's
You wake
cool.
up, you're like, it was a dream. It's fine. But you still wake up with that sense. So
But when you have anxiety or when you are really dealing with an actual fear, the best thing to do is to say, okay, what is it that I, what can I do? What do I know is true here in this scenario?
Right.
Okay, let's go something silly. Because I have snakes. Right? Like they're my
that is my
they're
rational
my pets,
fear.
Right? And so, for people, they do have fear of snakes.
Correct.
And when you come across a snake,
that is me.
What you're?
I jump.
Yeah, you jump. And I run. You run. It, the way I'm always like, hey, what's actually going to happen, right? Because here's the thing. Here's what I know about snakes. I've spent a lot of time studying. They're not coming at you.
Yeah.
The mantra or the moniker of they're more afraid of you than you are of them. Most people are like, they don't really have any idea how afraid I am.
Yeah.
But they really are, because they're a giant noodle with, you know, that's on the ground. You're this huge, gigantic thing.
Yeah.
That they don't know why you're jumping and making a lot of noise. That scares them too. But here's the thing. When you see a snake, your brain immediately goes into fear mode, fight or flight.
Right. Yeah.
And what I would suggest is, what if you went, what are my options here?
Uh-huh.
Right? What is that thing doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's really just sitting there. It's probably pretty cold. Or it's sitting in the sun and it's warming itself up. Or it could be hunting. Either way, it doesn't want me. It's silly, but, and most people that are afraid of snakes are like, boy, you have no idea.
Well, listen.
That's crazy talk. That thing is thinking about me constantly and wants to bite me and wrap itself around me and eat me.
I'm at the place. So
not the case.
I have a fear of snakes so much that I don't even want to look at it in a book. Mm-hmm. I don't want to even look at it at the zoo.
Wow.
So I
should come over to my house.
I'll never coming over. But I have realized, okay, Tanya, that's irrational.
Mm-hmm.
That snake is behind a cage. It cannot
I have a picture of a snake. So around Zoe's neck.
Myself.
Right now, I want to show Tanya just see. No, I'm just
jeez.
She's about to run out of here. There's a Tanya-shaped hole in the door.
But the point is, I'm getting there slowly.
Good. Because you're thinking about it.
Because I'm thinking, this snake is not going to come out of its cage and hurt me. I can look at it at the zoo.
Definitely not coming out of the book to get you.
Definitely not coming out of the book to get me.
That's a good place to start, right?
Right.
Yep. It's not coming out of the snake.
I'm not ready to see it in person yet, out of a cage.
We're not ready to go on a date. We're not, and she's definitely not ready to come over to my house and hold one.
Definitely not ready to hold one. But
maybe someday, and we'll take pictures and we'll post them on the website.
Maybe someday. Oh, boy.
Look how far Tanya's come over her fear. Yeah.
Debbie tried at the...
Oh, yeah, Fall Festival. Fall Festival. She had a bunch of them out there.
I was like, no, thanks.
I noticed you didn't go over there very much.
I walked around it a lot. around it, far, far away. But again, I am working on it. I do recognize it is irrational.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that whole mindset thing.
And I think,
what is going to happen here?
So here, look, that is probably the best thing that we can say. You need to take your kids' minds off of the irrational part of it and the part that gets them fixated on those things. Give them something else to think about, like a choice or something like that, an option that is less scary for them. And then when the fear has subsided, because in the middle of it, if a snake crawled under the door right now, that's not the time for you to be like, okay, we're going to take step one right now. Yeah. In
not definitely not panicking. The time for you to be like, Tanya, don't panic.
That's right. Exactly. Hey, let's try this.
Not helpful.
No.
Just touch it. It'll be fine.
That's right. No. So in the moment when that comes down and whatever it is that was creating that fear is gone,
mm-hmm.
come back and say, okay, how can we attack this?
Yeah.
Because facing your fear is the best way to get over it.
Uh-huh.
How can we go at this? That is baby steps. So it's a very smart move.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the snake analogy was going to go so far, and it actually worked out pretty well that is really what we need to do. So now our next step needs to be to talk to Zoe. Hey, okay, let's talk about when you get afraid, what do you do?
Yeah.
Right? Right now you're not afraid, right?
Yeah.
And in a normal situation, you sleep in your bed, right? Yes.
And it's not scary.
So
what
can we do the next time
mm-hmm.
you wake up afraid?
Yeah.
And give her some options to think about and talk about and then process, you know, maybe we can say a prayer. Maybe we can look around and go, I still have all of the things. Nothing has changed. My heart is racing a little bit. I feel a little bit strange. But if I count to 10, it calms down and I can go back to sleep. Right now, her response is get up, get out of bed. Shockingly grab a specific amount of things that she wants to sleep with.
Oh,
and come into the room and say, I'm afraid.
See, she brought all her things.
She is a smart rascal.
She is. That's funny.
Anyway.
But the point is, kids do have fear.
Okay,
and as we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, you said, you know, like as adults, we have these irrational fears that we're learning how to deal with. So how can we put the expectation on our child to just get over it
and
move on?
That's right. Hey, okay, listen, as a parent, when something, because it's inconvenient,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your kid says, I'm afraid of this. And you go, hey, come on, just get over it.
Right.
If you were afraid of something.
Come on, Tanya.
If you were afraid of something. Yeah. If I told Tanya, hey, get over it. Is that helpful?
No.
No, it's not helpful. So we have to do more as parents than just say, hey, get over it.
Yeah.
Right. One of the worst excuses that you ever get or give. One of the worst excuses or things that you got from your parents was because I said so.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
Right? That's a power move, but that's not
helpful.
Yeah, that's not helpful. You got to be more strategic. Now, is that harder? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you have to think about it. Yeah, you're like, why did I say so?
That's right. And you have to come back and you have to say, but if you ever want to overcome your fear, it does take work. It doesn't just happen. It
does take work. Yeah.
And you have to be willing to face the thing that you are afraid of. Whether it's public speaking, mm-hmm. whether it's fear of, you know, you're an introvert and it's fear of being around a lot of people, the anxiety of speaking up at work or snakes, mm-hmm. whatever it is, there has to be baby steps to attack that problem so that you're not as alarmed the next time it happens.
Right.
Right now, you've taken these steps to where you can look at a snake in a cage mm-hmm. behind a very large sheet of glass.
Yep.
The next baby step is not to hold a giant poisonous snake.
Boa constrictor, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a boa constrictor. It's one of the most docile animals on the planet.
But it is literally large.
The laziest thing ever. I have two of them.
Large.
Sometimes. Mine are not large yet.
Oh, okay.
Reticulated python, on the other hand. It doesn't matter. This is not reptile show.
This is
not
the snake show.
That I've thought about that podcast, but I don't have any friends that would listen to it. So I have
two people.
Yeah. I don't even know two people.
You don't know two people?
One. I know me, and that'd be weird.
Listen to your own podcast.
Anyway, if you are dealing with an extraordinary amount of fear, and you've listened to this, and you've said, I've tried all of that, then there also is the reality that you may need to, for yourself, go see somebody that is licensed mm-hmm. and yeah. has great training in dealing with fear, and that may be for you or for your child. If your yes. child is dealing with a fear that is paralyzing them, is keeping them from engaging in an appropriate way, that it might be important for them to see and talk to someone mm-hmm. that is trained in that, because that is a real thing that can yeah. lead to a deeper, darker
And there's
place.
Nothing wrong with seeking that kind of help, and it only has to be for a season.
That's exactly right.
It usually is. The rest of your life. Could be a few sessions.
And it could make all the difference in the world.
Yep. Yep.
Because sometimes those bigger fears are rooted in something that is deeper mm-hmm. than just a general understanding of those things can help you with, which right. is all we're ever saying that we're giving you. We're going to yes. give you a scriptural basis for a lot of things and some general practical advice and tips from what I've seen and what Tanya's learned about in her studies. But more in a lot of situations, you might need more
yeah.
than what we can give you. So we would suggest, and if you need some help, you can email us, you can go to our website. We can definitely help you to find all of the information that you need. We'll be happy to do that in confidentiality. Love to help you through that. But thank you so much for joining us again. I think that's it, unless you have another closing thought.
I don't.
All
right. It's a deep thought today.
It is just a little scary.
A little fearful. Just kidding.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again on Parenting Matters. If you don't mind sharing or subscribing to this podcast, we would love it. We would appreciate it. Really helps us out a lot. And again, if you need anything for us, you can go to m1bc.org or email us seth@magnoliasfirst.org or tanya@magnoliasfirst.org, and we would love to connect with you and help you in any way we can. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.